is Leading with Excellence podcast featuring Dr. Amy Corus, superintendent of the Whitco Community School Corporation in Whitley and Kosciuszko County in the north central portion of Indiana. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, executive director of the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents. This Leading with Excellence podcast allows listeners to get to know the incredible individuals who are leading Indiana's traditional public schools with excellence and reminds us that our leaders are also our neighbors, friends, mentors, and lifelong learners. These authentic conversations help bridge the gap between the office of the superintendent and the amazing people in that seat. You know, superintendents are often seen as administrators who make big decisions about budgets, policies, or facilities. And although that is true, this podcast shifts that perspective by hearing superintendents speak in their own voices about their community, school district, and personal stories. We'll discover the superintendent as a listener, learner, and servant leader, someone whose leadership centers on vision, relationships, and a genuine care for people. Let's dive right in and learn more about our guest, Dr. Amy Corus. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you, Jeff, for having me.
Talk to us about Whitley and Kosciuszko County and the Whitco Community School Corporation. Sounds like a consolidated district.
It is, correct.
Yeah.
There are four small communities that make up Whitco.
Okay.
Pearston, South Whitley, Sydney, and Larwell, and they came together in 1968 to create Whitco. So we have five campuses, transportation, two elementaries, a career academy, and then which is on a big property, and then we have the junior senior high school.
So would you, for those who have not been to Whitco, would you call yourself a rural district, a suburban district, a lot of farming, a lot of industry? What does that look like in Whitco?
We're definitely a small rural district. We are literally surrounded by cornfields. Mm. So when you look out my office, that's what you see. We like that. That works for us. We also have a lot of large manufacturing corporations within our entity. But if you talk to our community, you would definitely say we're small rural, small towns for sure.
So you mentioned the industry, and we all know that workplace learning is something that is really taken the attention of our legislators and become more important with diplomas and the requirements that we're working with our students. Do you have pretty good relationships with those industries? Are they helping to create a pipeline for your students to be engaged in those industries? Talk to us about that relationship.
So our Career Academy is fantastic. It's one of the best in Northern Indiana. We opened it 5 years ago. We got a big grant from several donors, and we just this year created a program called Manufacture Ed, and we have 12 seniors who have gone through the manufacturing CTE course pathway, and then their senior year, they go to an internship at these companies and actually get paid for it.
Oh, wow.
And then they're promised a job when they graduate.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
To know that you have a job before you graduate from high school, what a sense of relief.
And you have to apply to get in.
Okay.
So we don't just let anyone meander in. You have to be very purposeful. But we just also this year in Whitley County, there are three schools, me being one of them. And so we have an MOU where we trade students so that we're not all doing the same pathways.
Yeah.
So we have 11 pathways, and we get students from Whitley County Consolidated and Smith Green. And then we send them students if they have something that we don't offer at our academy.
So. Mm. And that partnership working together obviously enhances the opportunities for students and also eliminates the duplicity of everybody having to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And you think about it in a cost perspective, you know, none of us are big schools. Mm-hmm. So some of those programs are not even maxed out, and that's with three districts, but it's very important that we have those. Mm. And some are bigger. Construction trades is huge.
Sure.
And there's a waiting list to get in. Welding is huge. The manufacturing is huge. So it lends itself to the way our community kind of blends. Those are very important aspects.
Yeah.
Because even if you think, oh, I might want to go to a four-year college, you can still get a pathway and still have plenty of time to get all of your upper-level classes. So
I can, for our listeners, I can see how prideful you are about your school district and what you offer. What are you most proud of for what Whitco offers to students?
Well, you know, I'm a Whitco graduate, so my family still lives in the community. My parents live 5 minutes from my office, so if I need to grab a coffee, I go there because we're a small town. We don't have a coffee shop in one of them. So I would say our biggest flex right now is the CTE Academy.
Mm.
Districts come from all over the state of Indiana to tour our building. It's beautiful. It's state of the art. It's a hub. It's always moving. We're growing the program still. We just added vet tech for next year.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's exciting. So especially in our area when agriculture is huge. So I would say the academy. And we have also started to, enrollment is starting to tick up. So we are getting kids from other districts that want to come either to play sports because we are a smaller district and they get more play time, or they want to come for the academy.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
One of the things that I have been pleasantly surprised with, but I think it's, I just did not realize how many of our leaders in the state of Indiana, how many of our superintendents have gone back home to be the leader, the top leader in the district in which they grew up in which they graduated from. What was that pull for you back to Whitco?
I just wanted to make it a better place. And that is the whole reason I went into education. Mm. So two of my board members, I graduated with their sons.
Oh, wow.
And one of them babysat me when I was little. So it's just great to go back and know that the decisions I make affect everybody. Mm. Because when I go to Easter, someone will mention something that happened at school, or they'll call me and say, "Hey, I heard this. Can you explain it?" You know, I have a cousin who teaches kindergarten. I have a cousin who is a bus driver. Like, I have a big family, so it sounds like we have a million cousins, and there's a lot. But my district nurse is one of my cousins. Hmm. So it's just nice to know that the decisions I make daily impact everyone, and I don't take that position lightly.
It does add a whole level of additional responsibility and, and probably a little bit of pressure to know that the decisions you're making are not only for the good of the district, but the good of your family.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
So your family stayed local. A lot of your family stayed local. That means that for you to escape, you have to go somewhere else. How do you get away when you just want to be Amy?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. So I don't live in my district, but I live 10 miles from it. So I'm just right there. I live out in the country. I have a big wooded lot. I'm an avid runner. I've been running since I was 15. Mm-hmm. And so that's just my way of getting out of my head and just doing something good for myself. So.
Now, when I run, I have to have music in my ears. Are you a music in the ears person, or are you a listening to the wind?
Yep. Nope. And some of the music I listen to would be shocking. And my son will say, "Oh my gosh, where?" Like, "I know, it's fine. It's fine. It's a little grungy, but yes, sometimes."
Not the kind you play in your office or at a halftime of a basketball game or any of that.
So when people come over, you have to change your Spotify because you don't want that to pop up.
Uh-huh. You mentioned education being important to you. What was your pathway into education and then into the superintendency?
It's not what people think. Because I grew up in a small rural town, my parents never mentioned college. No one in my family had gone to college. It was not something we even talked about. Hmm. So, in fact, my high school guidance counselor told me, "You need to go to beauty school. You'll never get into college." Hmm. So I was like, "Oh, well, now you tell me that, I'm going to go do it now." Right. Because you just told me I couldn't. So I only went to college because all my friends were going. Mm-hmm. I really didn't have a plan. My best friend was going into elementary education. I figured, well, that's probably the easiest route. Let's do that.
Sure.
And thankfully, I loved it. And then I started in first grade. And then I had a special ed teacher who wasn't great. And I thought, there's got to be a better way to do this. So I went and got a master's degree in special ed and switched and did that for over 10 years. Mm. And the same thing happened as a principal. She wasn't great. And I thought, you know what, I think I can fix this better. And that's just has kind of led me up to the top, because if you want to make change, you have to be in charge. Mm-hmm. And yes, we do take lots of arrows, but knowing if I don't like something, I can usually change it for the better. And that is why I stay in this seat.
So you've mentioned a couple women who have been motivating for you maybe not the best way, because you knew that you could do better or wanted to do better. Do you have some role models in your life that have really helped you to guide you into your role as a leader?
Yes. It started with my high school home ec teacher. The day that they told me I couldn't go to college, she said, "Oh, well, I'm going to take you on a college visit."
Oh, wow.
And that's exactly where I went to school. So we started there. And then just throughout the years, Dr. John Lippe, I worked with him at, he was a high school principal in Manchester. He said, you should get your doctorate. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. He's like, yeah, you should do it. So I thought, well, okay, I'll go do that.
Yeah.
And then I joined IASA, and I tell people that was life-changing. I have taken a million classes from Ball State, and they were fantastic. I had so many great professors in my principal's school that said, you know, you might want to look into the superintendency. Well, that seems so far away when you're just trying to be a principal.
Yeah.
And so they incurred, Tracy Cadell was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Dr. Michael Schaefer was fantastic. So they kind of pushed me into it. And so I thought, okay, I'll keep going to school. It'll be fine. But then on IASA, Kyle Barentine was my mentor.
Yeah.
He was so helpful and kind of guided me in the beginning. And Kristen Bilkey, who I met through, again, IASA. Mm-hmm. And so I call her probably weekly.
But
yeah, I've had some great mentors.
Kristen, of course, is on staff now with IEPSS. And you recently met with Kristen and several other of our leaders who are women. Now 69 women superintendents in the state of Indiana, our largest number ever, to look at how the association can better support women in their leadership. Talk about where that is headed and why that was so important for you to be involved.
It's headed to not just we're together just because we're women. It just creates a safe place so that we can ask the stupid questions and we can complain about the boys and the boys club. Mm. And while I have no complaints, they've all been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like a sorority. Mm-hmm. We just sit and we say silly things and, you know, you have to have, it takes off that professional suit and allows you to be who you are as a person.
Yeah. We often say that it's only lonely if you allow it to be lonely.
Absolutely.
Because there's plenty of other mm-hmm. leaders that you can reach out to that probably are experiencing something similar mm-hmm. to what you are.
I think that's the biggest thing that people have to learn. You don't have to know everything when you take the seat,
mm-hmm.
but you can't be afraid to ask stupid questions.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people who have been doing this for a long time that have the answer and who are constantly checking in. My first year, I think Paul Ketchum checked on me at least once a month.
Mm.
Tom Hunter would email me and say, hey, how you doing, kid? Are you hanging in there? So just knowing that you're not alone is important in this seat.
You're mentioning some great leaders across the state and wonderful to bring them into this conversation as well. The role can be stressful.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do outside running, obviously, is something that you mentioned. You mentioned you live on a large piece of property, a farm, just out in the country. What do you do when you're just trying to de-escalate, when maybe upcoming spring break or a vacation or a summer? Is there something in particular you like to do?
I love to cook.
Mm.
So one of my favorite things is to pour a glass of wine and go out and cook. Food is my love language.
Okay.
So I have a beautiful kitchen that I remodeled so that I could cook.
For that very reason.
Yep. So I like to go in there and make different things or the old stuff. But I love to eat too. I mean,
sure.
Thank goodness I'm a runner. But so the kitchen is definitely my safe space.
Is there a particular dish that you really like to make, that a specialty that you have?
Fish tacos are kind of my
thing
the family always asks for. But because I grew up in Indiana, you know, I love the comfort food,
mm-hmm.
beef and noodles, those heavier, meatloaf, mashed potatoes.
Yeah,
the good stuff.
Wow. I know our time's getting short. I want to ask you two more questions. When you think about the future of Whitco schools, and especially being a graduate and having family in the community and just being so invested, what are you most excited about when you think about the next 5 to 7 years in Whitco?
We're just trying to make it a place for excellence. So that means modeling appropriate behavior, making academics really strong, providing programs that our kids deserve.
Mm.
Just because you're in the middle of a cornfield doesn't mean that you have a less than education.
Mm-hmm.
So recently we just had 100% of our gen ed third graders pass iRead.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. We're proud of it. We've been bragging about it, but that's a huge jump from last year. We've changed a lot of things. So just letting people realize, like, it's okay to have a high standard.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. People assume because we're small and rural that we are trying to compete with these big districts. We're not.
Mm.
They do what they do well, and we're going to do what we do well.
Mm-hmm.
And that means we're 2A. That's okay. We don't mind being 2A. Our girls
be the best 2A you can be.
I know. Our girls basketball team last year did fantastic. Our boys did better than we kind of anticipated. So We've put some really good people in place, and they have just raised the bar, and everybody is stepping up to it.
Perfect segue into our final question, because we talk about surrounding ourselves with great people. So when you think about leading with excellence, the title of our podcast, what does that mean to you in the context of public education?
I just think it's okay to love public education. Mm-hmm. We get such a bad rap in the news and out there on media, but it's okay to say, yes, I'm from public education. Mm-hmm. I'm passionate about public ed. I love it. I've spent my life doing it. I won't stop. And that's okay. Like our legislators don't love it. And I always joke about that, but we're still going to keep, you can hammer our budget. We're workhorses. Mm. We'll make it work. So people ask me, well, what are you going to do with all the budget cuts? I'm going to cut, but we're going to keep going. Yeah. That's fine. We'll be fine.
We're going to focus on our students and do what they need.
Raise that bar and keep it high. So.
Well, I love public education too.
I'm so glad.
Amy, thanks for being my guest.
Thank you for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been Dr. Amy Corus, superintendent of the Whitco Community School Corporation. Amy's story reinforces that excellence is a journey, not a title. We hope today's conversation helped you to see the heart behind the role of the superintendent. Today's conversation reminds us that leadership is not only about decisions. It's about people, passion, and purpose. This has been another episode of the Leading with Excellence podcast from the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents.